morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Happy Father's Day to all you dads. I hope you have a great afternoon. Get to spend time with your family. I'm going to bring a very familiar text this morning, Father's Day. And the Apostle Paul set great stock in relationships in the church, because they have a direct bearing on our faith. And the way we are with one another, and especially with our families, reflects on Jesus Christ. And I know there's a lot of different views of child-rearing and discipline, but we're going to talk this morning about fathers and what God expects of them. I had heard Dr. James Dobson several years ago on the radio said that one of the main reasons gangs were expanding in the cities is because a lot of those boys came from fatherless homes. Well, the feminists jumped all over him and said he was being a feminist, a chauvinist pig, blaming the single mothers. And Dr. Dobson said, "I'm not blaming the mothers. They're doing the best job they can, but young men need an example. And since they don't have a father in the house, they hook up with these other young men. The older gang members become their fathers, so to speak." So being a father is a very important job that God has given to men. I picked two texts this morning, and I think the second shines light on this first text. I'm in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and then we'll be in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 7. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Father, I thank you today that your word will always accomplish what you send it out to do. And I pray especially for the fathers and grandfathers today that you would lay upon our hearts the responsibility that we have as men of God to train those under our care, our children. I thank you for all godly fathers and mothers, and I especially thank you for those that don't send their kids to church, but they bring them. And I offer this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I was reading this week through the commentaries, and Dr. Clark made a rather long observation on Ephesians 6:4, and I didn't include all of it in my notes, but he says, "Avoid all severity," is what Paul is saying in the Greek when he says, "Do not provoke your children to anger." A lot of parents today are trying to be their kids' buddies, and by being their buddies, they don't want to anger them. They don't want their children angry with them, so they kind of let them have their head. I say that if you ever rode horses, if you let a horse have their head, you're looking for a trip to the ground. If they never get their head down between their legs, you're going bye-bye. And I use that metaphor with children. Sometimes the parents give them their head and thinking, well, they need to find themselves, and then they find themselves in a lot of trouble. And mom and dad wondering what's going on. So the Bible says we are to train our children. Proverbs says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And that train is a word that they use for disciple. And it means narrowly. I thought that was interesting. The Hebrew means narrowly train your children. In other words, you know, Jesus said the way that leads to life is narrow. And there's not very many people to find it. He said it's a difficult road. And God in the Old Testament said, you got to train your kids. But Dr. Clark says, not with severity or cruelty. because he said you're not doing any good if you're overly severe or cruel with your children. And he said in this text, Paul's not talking about punishment, because punishment implies revenge. You know, sometimes we get mad and whip our kids maybe, or punish them, and Paul said there can be a, or Dr. Clark says there can be a vengeful motive behind that, and that's not what God requires. He's not saying not to discipline them, maybe physically sometime, but he's saying you should never be severe or critical or cruel to your child. I cringe sometimes when I hear adults tell kids, you can be anything you want to be if you just set your mind to it. That's not true. You know, some of you will never be rocket scientists. I don't care how many math classes you take. You just don't have it. And I don't mean that to put down. I don't have it. I took pre-algebra in college and didn't even get through that class. You know, it's the weirdest thing trying to add up number or letters and make numbers appear. I didn't get it. And Dad, you're like the coach of the family. You're there to cheer your kids on. You're there to train them. Training is done with discipline, and it's done on purpose. God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. This, he's talking to parents here in the law. Moses has read the law to the children of Israel again. They're on their 40-year trip. They're getting ready to come to Canaan. Joshua is going to take over the leadership. And Moses, before he dies, he goes back over the covenant with them. And the first thing he reminds Israel, mom and dad, you have to love the Lord in order to train your children. In essence, Dad, what you are teaching your child is how to love the Lord with all your heart. And if they don't see it in you, then your words don't mean a lot to them. I read a book by Thomas Rainer called Generation X. He was a youth pastor, and he wrote this book about this generation of young people, and he said their biggest complaint in the church, in the youth group, is mom and dad say one thing, but they do something else. Okay? God says to Israel, and he's talking to the dads mainly, he said, Dad, you got to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You know, if you do that, then it doesn't seem such a chore to train your children that way. He said, this is a choice that every person has to make daily, to love God. You remember, we come out of that little series in Corinthians about what love is. And Paul said, you can do all these great things in the church. You can really seem like a sanctified saint, but if you don't love the Lord, it doesn't mean anything, and you won't gain anything by it. God's not going to be impressed with your good works because your motivation's all wrong. And when God gave the law to Israel, he pointed out that you need to love me with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then in the book of Leviticus, he said, you also need to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said the whole law and the prophets hang on those two commands. In other words, if you will do these two things, you will keep the law. Now, God has given them this instruction, and the law said those who do it will live by it. So here Dad is with this responsibility. He is to know the law. He's to know God. He's to love God, and he's to pass that on to his children. God said, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Diligently. With purpose. Dr. Clark says that the Hebrew here says over and over. God said, teach them again and again and again and again. And he said the word in the Hebrew that it came from is like a word used for sharpening an axe or a sword. You keep running it over that rough whetstone until you get a polished edge on it, the edge you want. And he says, God is using that terminology to dad, saying you've got to hone your children. You need to make them keen to God. I like that. And you don't just teach them one time and say the Bible says and then go on and let them fend for themselves. He said you instruct them diligently. When the child errs, you bring him back. Now, Dr. Clark says that's not to be done with severity or cruelty. It's to be done because you love the Lord, and of course you love your kids. Eli was the chief priest when Samuel was a boy. And he had two sons named Hophni and Phinehas. And they were priests. Eli was the high priest that time. And it said these men would cheat people in the temple, in the tabernacle. They would sleep with the women who were taking care of the tabernacle. When people would bring their sacrifices in, they took the best cut for themselves. And Eli told his boys one time, you ought not do that. But that's as far as it went. And God condemned Eli because he said, you love your sons more than me. And God said, I don't play second fiddle, Eli. So he said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to lose both your sons in one day. Well, the Philistines fought against him. Eli and Hophni, Hophni and Phinehas, whatever the names was I gave you, what I just said out of my mind. Those two guys died. The ark was captured. And it said Eli fell over backwards when he got the news, and he was a fat man, and it broke his neck, and he died. And we can think that's harsh, but there's an example that God said to this priest, you know better. You need to train your young men. Eli should have severely rebuked them, and if that didn't work, he should have pulled them out of the priest's office and said, take off them anointed garments. You cannot serve as priests. Well, when we're training our children, God says, be diligent, men. You don't have one rule one time and then one rule another time. You don't make exceptions sometimes. Well, I'm going to make an exception to this rule. He said, you need to reiterate. You need to again and again and again remind your children what the Bible says. Like a story I heard about a young man that went to this church, and they interviewed him and they hired him. And the first Sunday he preached this sermon, and it was just a great sermon. And the next Sunday morning he preached the same sermon. The next Sunday morning he preached the same sermon. And the elders came to him and said, young man, we admit that's a good sermon, but when you're going to preach something else? He said, as soon as you get a hold of what I'm preaching now, then I'll preach something else to you. See, he saw the importance of repeating himself and repeating, and God gives that instruction to dad. Now, if you're in a single-parent home and there's not a dad there, then, ladies, it's your job. God says, teach him, reiterate. Teach him over and over and over what the Scripture says. Dr. Clark made notice that the Lord said, you'll talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk in the way. I like that. The first time I remember reading that as a baby Christian, I was duly impressed with that. God said, you teach them my law over and over and over again, as many times as it takes. He says, you talk with them when you're sitting at home and when you're walking in the way. The Lord is saying, you need to worship me at home and in your everyday life just like you worship at the temple. You know, it wasn't much difference as it is now that when the Jews went to the temple, that was the purpose. We're here to worship God. And that's when the kids would see Dad, hopefully fulfilling the role that God had gave him as the leader of the house. And Dad would offer sacrifices for his sins and probably for his family's. And Dad would pray. Dad would seek God's forgiveness. He would talk to the priest. And that was why he was there. If Dad were to show up at the temple with a bag of golf clubs and started teeing off in the holy place, they'd have killed him. They'd have said, this is God's house. You can't do that here. You know what God was saying? Men, be men of God on the golf course. He's saying, don't just practice your religion in the temple. Practice it at home. Easiest thing in the world to come in here and act as a Christian. Easiest thing, because that's what's expected here. In fact, if you don't act like a Christian, you kind of stand out. People notice it real quick. Boy, I don't know if they're saved or not, you know, by the way they act. Well, God says to the fathers, if you love me with all your heart, then you're going to live your religion at home, on the job, in your leisure time. See, God really meant to love him with all your heart, soul, and strength. I've shared this with the youth, and I know I've shared it with you before. I'm going to share it again. Jesus does not want to be a part of your life. He does not want to be a big part of your life. He doesn't even want to be the most important part of your life. Jesus Christ wants to be your life. And that's what the scriptures say. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And he said he is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. If you think about what God is saying to these men in this day, he says, if you'll love me with all your heart, then you're going to live your religion at home. You're going to live it when you're working in the field. You're going to live it when you're in the house. Every moment is a teachable moment, is what God is saying. And believe me, your kids will come home with questions. Especially if you send them to a public school and you're trying to raise them in a Christian home, and they'll come in there and say, well, this other kid told me that, you know, there is no God. What do you say to a 7-year-old, 8-year-old? Well, it says in the Bible, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But you got to watch that, because I go to school and tell that kid, my daddy said, you're a fool. You know, and then you're going to get a phone call from the principal. You see what God's saying? Let me be God in all situations to your house. That ought to be the most natural thing, Christians, for us to do, because these people did not have the Spirit of Christ within them. We do. But as I said, he's a gentleman. He will not force himself upon you. You know, I find that the more I read the Word, the more I love it. I'm not bragging on me, but I was telling Brother Wayne last night after supper, we don't watch a lot of TV anymore. Sometimes we'll watch some, but it's just getting too nasty. You know, even commercials. And I just had this hunger. Read the book of Hebrews. Man, I sit there and read that book and just gnawed all through it. It said Jesus Christ, when he had by himself procured purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And he said, he's the one God created everything true, and by his word the whole universe is held together. And, you know, I'm just going, wow. God loved us so much that he became a man, a human being, and he is still a man. Jesus Christ is God, the Word in flesh. And by his word, the universe is held together. That's the Jesus we serve, guys. That's the Jesus we need to be sharing with our kids. What are we going to say when the hard times hit? Well, kids, hard times are part of life, but Jesus Christ is in control. Your mom and dad can, your kids can see that in you, mom and dad, if you're playing games or if you're really living for Christ. They can tell if he's really your all in all by what you turn to, by what you do, by how you react or respond to situations. Do you live your religion at home? That's what God's saying. He said, don't think of me just at church. And you know, we do that. And I realized last night when I was reading how many hours I've wasted watching the Idiot Box when I could have been fed with spiritual food. You know why God left the Word here for us to read? It is. That's why there's a Bible. Paul said that he had these things wrote down as examples. I used to say it's too bad kids didn't come with a manual. Well, they do. If you have the Word of God, there's your manual. There's your manual, mom and dad, how to raise these kids. There's your manual in how to survive a marriage. And you know what I'm talking about. After you're married for a while, it's like, wow, how'd we make it this far? I've been married 37 years this December. I ain't never stuck with nothing that long. But the Word tells me to let Christ be the center of my marriage. then all of a sudden, I'm not so important. I don't have to be the boss. Jesus Christ is the head of my family. I answer to Him. And I need to teach my children and my grandchildren. I regret a lot of the way I raised my children because there was a lot of things I didn't know then. One of my daughters got angry at me one day. Something her kid had did. And of course, granddad let it go and sit down and talk to him about it. She said, "You didn't do that with us." I said, "I didn't know then what I know now. And if I could do it all over again, yeah, I'd have done it then." You have to be consistent in raising your kids, Dad. He said, "You'll talk about it when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way." Then he says, "When you lay down and when you get up." I like what Dr. Clark says. "You shall begin and end each day with God." Begin and end each day with God. Well, I don't know the Bible that well. Did you read in there where he said you need to know the Bible? He said you need to know God. Begin and end each day with God. Dad, that's what we're commanded to do. If you don't have a dad in the house, then Mom, that's what you're commanded to do. If you're living with your grandparents, that's what they're commanded to do. So God says, number one, Dad, you gotta love me with everything you need. Number two, Dad, you need to live your religion outside the church. Number three, Dad, you need to begin and end each day with me. What a blessing. Would you stand this morning? I hope you guys have a great Father's Day, those of you that are fathers. I hope your family will treat you well. I lost my word. I hope your family will treat you well, treat you kind. And I hope when you look at those kids, you realize this is the window of opportunity God has given. Love the Lord with all your heart, Dad. You're going to love them kids the right way. You're going to teach them how to love the Lord. That's what they need to know. Some of you know him, some don't. John Carnell's stepbrother. He is suffering with some kind of liver problems and he's not doing well. John's asked if the church would lift him up in prayer. Be close. Also, I have a letter here about getting from Rock Garden Camp. And it says, "Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Enclosed is a letter to parents or guardians of first chance campers interested in staying with their camper at the camp. Since they are staying in the dorms with access to campers, they need to complete a background screening before camp." So I'm assuming mom or dad or guardian, if you want to go to camp with your kid for the first time and be staying in the dorms, you got to pass the background check. Okay. It's sad we live in these kind of times, but this is necessary. So as Doc said, you got 2 weeks waiting period. If you're thinking about doing this, you need to go through their check. The letter did say if you've been through other checks, you've got to go through theirs. Also, I told a couple of you wrong earlier in the week. I thought my surgery was going to be 17th of July on a Monday. It's on the 19th. They said I'll be off for about a month. I talked to Dr. Mark the day after, and he said he would be glad to fill the pulpit for that month. So I'm having a fusion. They're going to put screws and pins in there and hook everything up. So keep me in your prayers. Keep my family in your prayers. Be praying for Dr. Mark as he brings the Word of God to you for that month. I hope, fathers, you have a great time. I hope you're pampered. That's the word I was looking for earlier. Hope you're pampered today and you get to enjoy your day. I don't have it in front of me. Whoever's saying the closing prayer. Doc, thank you. Good to have Doc back, too.
Doc, before you start for just a moment, I just want to let everyone know that Doc has been cleared by the doctors to drive and take care of himself on his own. So there is a huge answer to prayer.
Amen.
But I also wanted to let anyone know that has been signed up, and I know we worked through the month of June for anyone to drive him or anything. Those people have been pretty much released, but I am going to ask if Doc calls me and says he's not feeling well or whatever it might be, I may be calling again, but as far as we know right now, Doc is on his own. He's a tough old geezer. We love you, Doc. Go ahead.
Father, again, we just thank you so much for the fathers that are here and the fathers of the world, Lord, that you just walk beside them and teach their children the way of the Lord. And Father, we just thank you so much for all the people who did that helped me. And it's just hard to give the thanks that I don't know how I'm going to ever pay them back. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the blessings that you give us. And Lord, we know you're always there. And I went through that experience, I know. And Father, we just thank you so much for that. And Lord, we just ask you to be with Rick when his time comes to get operated on, and Brother Mark will take care of us. And Lord, we just ask you to be with those that Rick mentioned, the names of the people that need our prayers, and Father, those prayers work. And Father, we just thank you so much for the life that you give us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
People said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. You thank to the Lord for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen.
Happy Father's Day.